January 2nd, 2019. This is The Better Life. I'm your co-host, Eric Rosenthal.
And I am the other co-host, Timothy Lawson. Eric, it's
What's
here.
What's going on?
How you doing, buddy? 2019 is upon us.
Happy New Year. I like that you're the other co-host. That makes me really happy for some reason.
Well, good. It makes me happy that you're the other co-host. So I had my first New Year blunder of like messing up the I published a blog at work, and I was like, the link works, but wait, like, why don't we see it on the front page? Because I had it January 1st, 2018. Yeah. So it archived all the way back to January. I was like, where is it? I was so mad. Fortunately, someone smarter than I figured it out. We are less than 48 hours into the new year, sir. How are you feeling about 2019 thus far?
You know what? Just looking up. I like it. Things are good.
Very good. Yeah, same here. People make fun of resolutions, right? And we make fun of it for good reason, because humans are really bad at commitment. Americans are especially really good at fooling themselves into believing they're following a passion simply because they talk about it or they plan to, and then they fail, right? And I actually have, I mean, this is sort of new. I mean, I've always been someone that to be a goal setter and to follow through on the things I enjoy, but I've just recently started getting into sort of quarterly planning, right? So I was actually, one of the reasons I was really excited about going into the new year is it was ending a quarter where I accomplished some bigger goals for myself. And one of the things that I'm doing this weekend is doing some goal setting for Q1 2019. So I'm excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So people are probably wondering, what was that at the top of the show? The whole co-host thing. Yeah, that's right. It's happening. No longer just guest co-host. No longer just here I have on the show this week. A regularly occurring co-host, my partner for this show, Eric Rosenthal. We talked about it a few times in 2018. You expressed interest in being able to produce a little bit more content outside of your VC efforts, and I thought there was a great opportunity for us to collaborate here, and I'm really glad that that we found a way to make it work. We're both happy about the situation.
Well, I mean, it's an honor and a privilege. What can I tell you?
I mean, I will say that it's early on in my podcast, or early on in The Better Life, probably, and I'm reminiscing these moments a little bit because I'm finally, because I've been back cataloging all of You Can Bet on That over the past year, and I finally have reached the episodes where The Better Life launched, right? So, you know, like, oh, Tim Lawson from The Better Life, like, brand new show. And I'm like, oh, that was, like, it feels like that was so long ago, but it wasn't. But there's, like, one or two episodes of You Can Bet on That before I launched. Mark made the joke, Eric Rosenthal, the most famous podcaster who doesn't actually have a podcast, or the most well-known podcaster who doesn't actually have a podcast. And I heard a lot of people saying how much they loved Eric Rosenthal. I think Tony said that he swung from a part of Your Anatomy one time. And I was like, man, people really – and then I listened to Vegas Confessions, and you first heard The Better Life, and you were like, man, I love this show. And I was like, oh, the guy that everybody loves my show. That's so cool. And now here we are. I have the privilege of now sharing the show with you, sir. It's an honor and a privilege.
Well, you just stole my line. It was my honor and privilege first. What can I tell you?
Very well. Well, what we're hoping to do this is, you know, as much as I like my monologues, Eric, I appreciate a good dialogue even better. And so, I'm looking forward to, our ability to interact based on each other's personal experiences and really get into some of the experiences that we share together. Because as we saw in 2018, it's been less than a year since we've known each other, right? And still we've gambled in what, four or five different places together. So let's start with, have you done any gambling recently? Did you do any holiday time gambling? Did you make any casino runs?
I had some sports action, and I was at a Casino on Christmas Day.
Okay. Oh, wow. On Christmas Day. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Some Jews go for Chinese food. Others go to the casino. What can I tell you?
Right. Yeah. Was I there on Christmas Day? I don't think I was. Christmas Eve, I might have. Only because we did family Christmas later in the week, because that's when everybody was around. And so Christmas Day, I think Christmas Eve, I might have ran to the casino quickly. I don't know. I can't remember. But just to get some free, just to cash in some free play. I've been playing enough at MGM National Harbor. I've been playing enough during their like gift promotions where I think it's warranted a little bit of free play, right? So I go in there for that each week. But yeah, just sports action. I played a little bit of I did a little bit of video poker, a little bit of Pai Gow, and I went in there for my my free play. And Eric, what? So I live in Washington D.C. Well, I live in the D.C. area. I don't live in D.C., but I live in a
pretty
D.C.
close.
Area. Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah, whenever I leave this area, I tell people I'm from D.C. Right? That's And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. You're sick of the politics, right? And there's nothing like I expressed my distaste for the dealer down in Biloxi that brought politics to the table.
That was the Pat Tillman jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, but we got that was a conversation like that we sort of got into. I had a dealer that didn't even like wait. It was a dealer change, and he's like, you know, he's one of those dealers that tries to start small talk, which I'm fine with. So if I'm not in the mood, I'm just short with them. And he was like, so what do you do for a living? And one, in my head, I'm like, we're in D.C., bro. You just can't. I'm like, you should just ask people that question. And I was like, well, I do digital media for, and he's like, ah, well, bet you could do a better job than our president. And I was like, for fuck's sake. Goodness, like, really? Like, why are we bringing this to the, you know, to the table? And so it was one of those moments where I was almost glad that I lost my next hand, because I could like leave in disgust and act like that was why, right? Instead of making a scene. But man, Eric, why do people do that? Why do you think that's appropriate? Or maybe they know it's not appropriate, and they just don't care. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they know and they don't care. I also think some things ring true no matter what your political beliefs are. So, like, you could be a full supporter of the president but still wish he wasn't on Twitter so much.
Yeah.
So sure. It might have been, you know, the perception may have been that that was kind of an okay jab to throw without it being, like, offensive regardless as to where your loyalties lie.
Yeah. No. One cool with it.
No. Okay.
But anyways, that's I'm not trying to talk about that. You only framed it that way because I wanted to talk to mention like that Pai Gow dealer. That's it's Pai Gow. Twice in a row, it's Pai Gow dealer. Maybe Pai Gow is the political table. I don't know. Eric, one of the things that we wanted to talk about on a regular basis, something that we are hoping to make a routine part of our discussion, are the offers that we get. Because I know people often talk, you know, we would say like, oh, how do we get more offers? How do we get good offers? How do we take advantage of promotions and stuff like that? But no one really ever talks about the promotions and offers they're getting, right? Maybe free play. We hear people mention free play and stuff, but, I'm sure plenty of people are curious as to what offers we're receiving and which ones we're bothering to take advantage of. And I think this is especially an interesting exercise since you and I are not only different players, different types of players, but what we perceive to be value for us, I think, is a little bit different, right? So I think this is an interesting exercise. I have a handful of mailers here with me. I'm on travel right now, and I was so committed to this episode, Erica. I was like, I need to make sure I pack all my mailers so I can talk about them. I will throw them away once I'm done talking about them, but I wanted to make sure that I had them. By the way, you travel a lot in your hotels. The hotel room that I'm in does mm-hmm. not have a do not disturb sign, and I'm wondering if like that's just by accident or like they have them and like, or maybe they just don't have them. What do you think?
They have been disappearing. I think it's been well reported how Vegas has done away with them. I will tell you some places in Atlantic City have done away with them. And I have been – where was the last place I was at that I think did not have one? Kansas City, I think. I go there a lot. And the last time I stayed in a hotel there, there were no do not disturb signs. So that this process of entering rooms and things of that nature, that's not Vegas specific. That is a security measure being taken in many, many places.
Okay. Well, that upsets me. I'm in Orlando, I am near the, or I guess I'm like in the area of Disney World, and I walked in. Like, one of the first things I do, Eric, when I get to my hotel room is like drop off my bags, and I grab the Do Not Disturb sign and I put it on the front of my door, and it stays there until I leave. I don't need turn down service or anything like that. I think the only thing I've ever asked for is like more coffee for the coffee maker here. But
yep.
I got a like especially right now, I got a bunch of bunch of media equipment in here. Like, I don't want to have to think about keeping it. I don't want to have to keep like inventorying it every time I think someone's gone in and out to make sure nothing's been tampered with. You know, I don't know. I got a Wheel of Winners mailer from MGM. They do this like once every like couple of months. It's like it's a routine promotion that isn't every month. It's super simple. It's a kiosk game, free to play. Don't have to play. And you get anywhere between 10 and 1,000 in free play. And I think that floor and ceiling slides up as you're a better, like, as your tier status is improved. I'm only Pearl. So 10 is my floor and what I expect to get. The most I've ever gotten from a random free play, not an offer, and I'm curious what your answer to this question is. Mm-hmm. The most that I've ever gotten from like a randomized free play game or whatever is $200, and it was on a birthday free play, so it made me feel extra special, like I was the birthday boy. I've gotten $100 before, and then other than that, I've gotten just the 5 to 15, like most people, like we're sort of used to seeing on these. Random kiosk games. What have you got? Not necessarily in offers or anything, but like into sort of like, hey, play our game for some free play.
$1,000 in free play is my my best yet. Yeah. Oh my
goodness, that's nice, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you play the right game, you turn that into some money, right? So, it's like I don't like the Mark and Dr. Mike say that go play your free play, get the cash, and go back to the craps table.
Right. Make it a relatively free buy-in, so to speak. But I will remind you, once you hit that cash out, that money is yours. So it's really it's really still your money you're putting back on the table.
That's fair. But it kind of feels like that session's free rolled. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, it definitely feels that way. But
yeah,
it is not.
I mean, because especially if you especially if you intended on playing anyways. Right, like it's like I'm gonna go play craps, but let me go play my free play instead, or for free play first. And if you do well enough there, where it can cover like half or even all of your planned buy-in, then it's a nice little free roll in a way.
Listen, I'm not saying I don't do the same thing. I'm just saying it's your money. Like, if you decided to walk out with that money, it's yours.
Yeah,
so
that's
fair. It's not additional promotional money. It's your cash that you're putting back on the felt.
Fair enough. That's always a good reminder. Slot point multiplier. Each Tuesday in January, this is at MGM National Harbor, when a minimum of 3 times up to 19 times multiplied slot points. The 19 times is in a different color font. I'm going to guess that is... that's what's different. I think everybody has a minimum of 3, and I wonder if the 19 slides upwards on tier status. This is probably something I may wander in there on a Tuesday, Eric, but it's probably something that if it's 5 or less, I might just walk right back out.
Just open up a trip for good measure and leave.
Yeah, kind of. Like, and yeah. You know, I don't play. Here's the thing: I don't play enough there to worry about whether I'm like how they feel about it. If they want to give me benefits and promotions, that's fine. If not, then you know I'll wait till I get a chance to go up to Horseshoe or Live. You know,
right.
But if I went in there, if I played a little, like, I think it's a kiosk game, right? You play and they'll give you whatever your whatever you got, and I will. Five or less, I'm probably just going to walk right back out. If I get something kind of deep, if I hit 10 or 12, something cool like that, I'll sit down. I'll play some JOB for a while on some slot multipliers.
Yeah, you know, just one thing I'll point out. You mentioned that upwards number is probably a sliding scale based on tier. It's probably not tier. Everybody's probably ranked on their ADT, their average daily theoretical, and based on that, you're put into a bucket. You could have somebody with a very high card and a low ADT that's getting a very low offer, or somebody who's only been there once who had a stellar day, and they're maybe at the second level, and they would get a much greater offer.
Okay, well that's good to know. Okay, so. Even stuff like that, like kiosk games and stuff like that, probably based on ADT more so than status.
Almost everything.
So Palace Casino Resort in Biloxi has sent me a number of things since I've been there. They send it in an envelope, which is like, it throws me off every time because I'm so used to getting like these fancy printed mailers, these little booklets or whatever. It's a letter, right? It tells me what my promotions are and stuff. But every time I see it, I'm like, do I owe them money? What are they sending me in the mail? So this is the kind of stuff that I'm kind of hoping, and I'll throw it over to you for anything you may have after this. But this is sort of the stuff that I think is worth discussing is when we're looking at the offers that you get from a location that isn't nearby, that is somewhere you would consider going if you know you're going sometime soon or you've been thinking about getting out of town and we're looking for a reason to go. They're giving me $25. They're giving me $50, but split from one section of time to another section of time. First half of January, second half of January. Best rates. I mean, none of this is really half price. You know, it's a bunch of like, hey, if you were in town, this would be. You know, here's some things to maybe entice you to come over this way. None of this is good enough to make me think like, oh snap, let me book my flight down to Biloxi. But to be fair, I was playing at their $5 pie gal table, right? So it's not like I don't expect much, but nothing there that would entice me to start checking out flights to Biloxi. Have you either physical or email gotten anything interesting lately from our friends at the casinos?
I have. And I look for two different things when looking at offers from places that are far enough away that it would actually be a trip to get there. You know, you're opting to get on an airplane or take a long car drive, and usually the offer isn't worth it. Except I tend to get a lot of offers from properties that may either be a sister property or are affiliated or doing some kind of cross marketing. So I get free trips at places that are rather far away. And then it becomes, all right, well, is that a destination I want to go to? So, for example, I have multiple offers for Atlantis in the Bahamas and Bahamar. In the Bahamas.
Okay.
And I happen to like both. Atlantis, really, like, if I'm not going to stay at the Cove or the Reef, I'd rather not go. But Bahamar is just a beautiful property. But they don't necessarily include airfare. So, you know, you have to look at the airfare and decide if that's worth it. But it's, you know, easily $1,000 to $1,500 in hotel upfront. And neither casino is really one that I care about whether I am giving them sufficient play for the offer. So if you wanted to have like a nice getaway, you could certainly take one of these and go to the Bahamas and not play at all. And, you know, it's really an offer due to cross-marketing. They link up with one of the local properties here. And based on my play there, they've decided that they're willing to offer this to bring me out there. So that's good. That's worth it. The other play or the other thing that I'm looking for is a destination that has multiple properties where I can stack multiple offers while I'm there. Right. So Las Vegas, I mean, almost every trip where I went to Las Vegas, that would be the case. But there are other places. I still haven't been to Biloxi, but I'm sure Biloxi would qualify. If I segmented my play, I'm sure I could have gotten really strong offers from a couple of different properties there to make it work. Fairly certain I could get them to pick up the airfare too. But you know, maybe sometime in 2019. That isn't anything that I have currently. But I think it's important to segment your offers based on whether or not, as you mentioned, you care what they think of you.
Yeah.
Right? Because some you don't mind burning, and you'll take whatever they'll give you if you happen to be there. And others, if it's some place that you're going to play regularly, you know, it might cost you $500 in future offers by picking up a quick $50 and getting out of Dodge.
Yeah. It's, you know, being in my area with Horseshoe Baltimore, Maryland Live, and MGM National Harbor, 2018 was actually a really interesting year to where I wasn't giving any of the property significant action, but just in the flow of their promotions and whatever sort of routine they are on trying to get customers back, I actually benefited from having a few months where I was getting some free play from MGM, and then when that died down, I was getting a bunch of direct play from, or direct bets from Horseshoe, and then when that died down, I started getting free play from MGM again. So I had a nice year of just about every month I could have gone somewhere in my area to pick up some free play. MGM is just a little bit, and if it wasn't for the fact that it's only 10 minutes away from me, I probably wouldn't bother. The Horseshoe's direct bet in 2018 was actually pretty attractive for someone who would give them very little action. MGM National Harbor did send me their full calendar for January. And the thing that jumped out at me, Eric, blackjack tournament, January 12. I haven't been in one of those in months. They didn't do as many going into quarter four of 2018. The one that they did do, I was traveling, and then they had a blackjack series towards the end of the summer that like only half of the tournaments in the series ended up going off because they couldn't get 36 players for a couple of them, which is probably one of the reasons why they slowed down. But hopefully I'm sure when they have bigger, this one's a $75,000. Grand prize, and when they have big numbers like that, it's usually when they get big fields. So looking forward to participating in that. And then their weekly giveaway, they always have like a Wednesday, they always have like a theme for the month. Wednesdays you go and you play, you get 125 slot points and you get some gift. This time it's a bunch of luggage, messenger bag, backpack, duffel bag, and then a hard-sided luggage. I will probably go in for the luggage. I don't need anything else. I have enough backpacks and stuff in my place, but we are in need of another nice piece of luggage. So, and by nice, I mean free. So, I'll probably go in there to take advantage of that, because on the jacks are better. There's a 9.5, right? Which isn't full pay, I know, but compared to most, a lot of other casinos where you're going to try to take advantage of these offers, it's easy to hit those point mile markers without actually, you don't have to take a big loss to get there. Right. Which is, you know, I've seen, you know, you see jokes. I saw a tweet the other day. Someone was like, oh, my wife, they're giving a free rice cooker away, and my wife only needed 400 more points or whatever and asked me to play for her. And so now my wife has a $300 rice cooker.
Sure.
You know, or yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, and so fortunately, you know, 125 points at MGM on their video poker does take some play to get there. It's of course not what I'm saying, but with a low variant game like Jacks or Better, you can sometimes, you know, unless you're getting one of those sessions where it doesn't seem like you're getting Jacks or Better for like 5-10 hands in a row, you can usually coast your way into just going up and down and getting there. The last thing I was going to say, Eric, is I have one Be Connected sent me a mailer, and it is for March and April promotions, which I thought was some offers for March and April, which I thought was nice. So I like it when I get like, hey, because since you're probably not thinking about going to Vegas 10 days from now, here are things you could get if you decided to come here in the spring. And I can't remember what property it was, but I was joking about this on Twitter. I got a promotion from one of the casinos. I think it might have been Harrington, maybe. One of the casinos on the East Coast. I got my December offers on December 28th.
Yep.
And I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, there was one promotion on there that I would have taken advantage of. And I was like, well, too bad you don't have my email address, because these offers would have been nice. The one promotion that was going on this year that I did not get an opportunity to take advantage of, I think I mentioned it on an episode that I did with Mark Duvall. So it must have been the tracking one, the gambling tracking episode. Harrington Casino had an offer where on Monday and Thursday nights, if you placed a $100 wager on the Monday night or Thursday night football game, you got $30 in free play. Which doesn't seem like much, but if that's a casino you can easily access and you feel like you have, you're a decent handicapper, right? Don't have to be pro, but if you feel like you can deduce pretty well there, yeah, you can definitely get some positive EV on that. So that was the one promotion that was happening in this area where I was actually pretty upset that I couldn't take, I mean, but it's a 4-hour round trip and
it's not worth it for 30 yeah. bucks, but if you could round together, you know, a busload of people, then,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it makes it worth your while.
Yep. But there is, I just pulled up Hollywood at Charlestown, the racetrack there. You got casino. They're throwing some $50 in match play each week in January. Plus a up to a 2-night stay Sunday through Thursday at their hotel, and it's close enough where like if I want to like get away for a night over the weekend, like it's not much to get out there, so I may take advantage of that. But I actually did not browse or comb through my email too much. I quickly searched for Horseshoe Baltimore in my inbox to see if I'd gotten anything recently, and I hadn't. And that's usually the only casino where I get email offers that I can take action on them in any given month. So do you get mailers and emails from the same locations? Is it either or? Like, I don't really keep track of who I'm getting emails from, who I'm getting mailers from. I don't even remember like which ones I give my email to and which ones I don't.
So I have a separate email set up for these casino offers.
Yeah.
So everything goes to one location to look at.
HebrewHammer@gmail.com.
It isn't, but maybe.
Yeah, it isn't. So no one start emailing that making Hebrew Hammer jokes.
Right. Yeah. But maybe it should be. I could look into that. all of the mailers and the email are all handled by my assistant who puts everything into a calendar.
Oh, nice.
And just kind of, yeah, I mean, you know, she's got downtime, so
yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
And, yeah, so whenever there's something and, you know, she knows what my benchmarks are and what I'm looking for, she'll, you know, just make me aware. And otherwise, I don't have to think about it. And generally speaking, if I'm going to go someplace, I like to contact my host and just ask them if they can, you know, I'm thinking of coming down. It's down to you and one or two other properties. Can you offer me anything to make the decision easy? And usually they do. So, you know, that becomes an addition to whatever the mailed offer or emailed offer would be. And it all adds up over time. You know, a couple of hundred in free play goes a long way.
Absolutely. Do you find How much did, what like what sort of disparity do you find in between casinos that have you know, a hotel and a handful of restaurants versus a casino that maybe have one or two spots to eat and no hotel?
The places without the hotel will give a lot more for walk-in traffic.
Okay.
A lot more. So they don't have the overhead associated with the hotel. And even though a comp room is a sunk cost, you know, when the bean counters are looking at your account, they have a number factored in for the cost of giving you that room. And we actually had – I don't know if you listened to the VC episode. We had my host, Zach, from Harris, Philly. Philadelphia. Yeah. And they don't have a hotel. And, I mean, you know, he's been really, really good about making sure that – his property is the one that I go to.
Yeah.
And it's really as simple as, hey, I'm thinking of coming down. You know, can you offer me anything to make it worth my while? And I'm not going to say they never say no, but they rarely say no if your play warrants it. And that's in addition to whatever the casino is already offering you to get you in there.
Very well. Well, one of the things that you you know, we talked about what's our early content going to like? What are some things we should just throw into the discussion? And you know, so reviewing hotel casino offers and stuff like that, promotions will hopefully be a regular segment. Something we want to talk about, sort of as a topic for today, is losing and that feeling of losing.
Yeah. So my buddy Han from Chicago had reached out. And, you know, we were talking, and the more regularly you gamble, the more losses there are to deal with. And most of my play is regional, so it's all driving distance. And he asked me a great question. He said, you know, did you ever take a loss where just, you know, that drive home where you're thinking about it and you're kind of – you know, everything's playing back in your mind. You know, what was that like? And I thought, you know, that's a really good topic. It's, yes. You know, I think we've all been there, right? Like, I remember being, I don't know, 21, 22, and, like, my loss was greater than my paycheck for the last 2 weeks. And, I mean, admittedly, at that age, I wasn't making a very good living, but that meant a lot to me, right? Like, that was 2 weeks worth of work, and you're driving home and you start thinking about how, like, that was 2 weeks of my time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I only got 24 paychecks a year, and one of them gone to a casino. Not a good feeling. And you have to you kind of have to figure that out. The casinos do a really good job of making it almost acceptable to gamble at a higher limit than you probably should be, at least when you're young and your income isn't on par with the limits that they want you to play at. And – you know, that was a moment that stuck with me because I learned on that ride home that I had to be smarter than that, that I couldn't allow the way that they run their games to change what my bankroll should be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in Atlantic City at that time, it's funny. You could get cheaper tables now than you could 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Just because there wasn't the competition and, you know, gambling was – they were doing very well in Atlantic City at the time.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure, you know, I was like a kid who was barely legal to play and I could just find room at a green chip blackjack table. And, you know, when you're making – I don't know what I was making – $12 an hour, $14, whatever. I was still in school. $25 a hand was probably above what my bankroll would support.
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, you know, a lot of us are, you know, now that we're like full grown adults and have good careers, I think a lot of us, even I think $25, even though we can afford it, is feels like a stretch sometimes, right? You know, you hear about, you know, I know several people that that, you know, are in good places financially, have good careers, but just that, you know, thinking about, you know, $25 a hand over a course, you know, I've played blackjack before, and we've all had cold craps tables and stuff, but I specifically remember a blackjack game where I bought in 12 hands in a row. I didn't win one, you know, and it's, you know, I talk to people who don't understand gambling that are interested in it, but they just don't get it. You know, they're always like, well, that's so unlikely to happen. Yeah, but it happens.
Right.
Like, that's the thing, is it happens. And when you sit down to play, you never think, oh, this is going to be that time where, like, it just sucks, right? You sit down thinking, oh, like, I think most gamblers sit down looking for an even game, right? Of course, we all want to win big, right? We all want to have a nice, hot session where we're stacking chips and high-fiving. Eric, I would be so satisfied if I sat down at a pie gal table, sat down at a blackjack table, played some craps, whatever it may be, played for 2 hours and walked away one bet up, right?
Sure.
Bought in for $200, played for, you know, 2 hours, walked away with 225, right, or 210, or whatever the bet is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so happy, right? I mean, when we were playing in Biloxi, it was a slow burn, and when you're playing Pie Gal, slow burn's even slower. But it was a slow burn. But man, that car ride home is almost, I don't know if it's almost, because you proposed this to me, and I was trying to think, like, what are the moments where, like, it's the worst?
From a blackjack player's perspective, the worst is when the count is in your favor, you're expecting good things, your bet is increasing, and, you know, you get that one hand where, you know, all right, you got a pair of eights that you split. You get a two and a three, and you double on both, and, you know, now you've got 8-16 times your standard bet out there, and, you know, dealer 21.
I mean, that's thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that have you scratching your head, wondering why you do what you do.
Yeah,
because they do happen.
I think the moments where I am hardest on myself in losing are sessions where it wasn't going well, I recouped my buy-in, and I still left a loser. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You buy in, the session's just not going well, and then for like a half hour, things are just going your way, and you're like, yes, and you don't set yourself a limit at that point. You don't walk away. You don't tell yourself, okay, I'll play with this, like, this extra $30 that I have now here, and I'll leave with my buy-in. You don't do that. You just keep playing. You're feeling, because you're feeling good about it coming back. And like I said, you don't know that you're on a good or bad run until it's over, right?
Right.
When you lose two hands, you don't know that that's the beginning of a 10-hand slide until you're 10 hands into it. And it's those moments I think I'm hardest on myself. I'm like, man, there were so many moments that I could have left fully satisfied with my play, yet I managed to leave at the worst moment, when it was all gone, after I had several moments where I could. The drive home's bad, the over-aggressive loss in Vegas, and I haven't done this in a really long, this is back when I was still, when I was a little more irresponsible with the way that I managed my bankroll when I was in Vegas, right? You get that first, you get to Vegas, you're so excited, you play, and then you get back to the whole, like, you wake up the next morning and realize you blew through half your weekend's bankroll, right?
Right.
And you're like, well, crap. And now you can't even buy in at a table to know you're gonna be able to sit there for a while, and you might make some stupid decisions for, like, the hopes that you can, like, recoup some of that money, or, you know. Those losses are bad. What are some other, A high volume sports day where everything goes wrong. Oh, oh, Eric, that shit will keep you up at night.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
Todd Gurley lost a lot of fans this year. I'll tell you that much.
Oh man, you know. Yeah, that's
And I defend him. It was a smart play. It was the right play, but yeah. Yeah, good.
Well, I'll say where those decisions, and for the non-sportsers who don't know what we're talking about, Todd Gurley in a couple games this year about to score a touchdown, but instead of scoring the touchdown and giving the other team the ball close to the end of the game, downs himself at the goal line to keep the clock running and to maintain the ball so they can burn more clock. It's strategically the right play to make. But for a lot of people who need that touchdown to cover spreads, to cover totals, stuff like that, it's gut-wrenching to watch it almost be for him to snatch that that defeat from the jaws of victory for you.
In that moment as the better, right?
Yes.
You are not the athlete. You are the better. And in that moment where it is apparent that he is going to walk into the end zone and not be touched – and he downs himself in the field of play, which, again, it is strategically the right move, right? I'm not giving him a hard time whatsoever. You see it where your ticket is going to cash, and now it is not. And it was a direct result of him downing himself where he could have scored. And – you know, it was a big enough deal that some of the books actually refunded. Now, I know it's really marketing, but it was a big enough deal that some of the books refunded those tickets.
Wow.
The losing tickets, they refunded the full face value of the bet.
That's interesting.
Yep.
That's interesting, yeah.
To be clear, he never cost me a penny. And he has a job to do, and his job is to win football games, and he did the right thing. But if I had, lost and that was his response, I'm probably not buying his jersey. I'll say that much.
Why? I'm getting a little bit. I'm getting better at not caring about watching the game or keeping up with the score throughout the day. Not great in NFL because it's, I just enjoy watching NFL, right? So I'm watching it. So it's difficult to, ignore the ticker on the game that I have money on while watching, But, the soccer, the NBA, stuff like that. And it's better for me because I can emotionally handle the fact, oh, snap, those two, I went 1-2 today, right? I can accept that much better than watching the game cast like add points instead of I'm covering, now I'm not covering, what's going on, or watching a game and you're screaming at your come on, it's you expect them to know you got money on it, if you don't shoot now you won't get the 2-for-1 and cover the game, come on, you got to do this. And so I'm trying to get myself to be more satisfied with making the bets that I'm interested in making and not feeling obligated to follow the game live or watch it.
So it's really the numbers that matter more than the actual play?
Yeah, kind of.
So you're one of those idiots that believes in analytics?
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those idiots that believes in analytics.
Losing. Mm-hmm.
I may have mentioned this on this show before. I was in Belgium, Brussels, Belgium, and there was a casino there. I think it was called the Grand Casino. I think Grand Brussels Casino. I don't know, something like that. And I was playing, and we're talking about Euros, right? And this is 2009. Playing with Euros. And I was down to my last 25 euro chip playing blackjack. And I brought that all the way back to being three-handed 25 on each hand, three-handed. And I was up to about 2,000 euro. And I didn't catch my free fall until I was down to about 1,000 euro, which was more than what I bought in for.
Right.
But for some reason, but even with that, and this is how, and this goes, I think this shows the difference between people who look at it as house money and people who look at it as my money. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt like I lost my money, right? Even though I bought in for a third of that, a third of what I like walked away from, that 1,000 euro gap felt like a loss to me. And I was like kicking myself the whole way back to my hotel. Like, what was I thinking? I should just like slow down. Like, but like you get so excited, the game's going quickly. Just like win. But like the dealer just like the dealer's dancing as he's busting. Like he's excited too. You know, like it's like yes, this is so much fun. And then before you realize it's going the other way, and you've lost a bunch. Those are the moments that are really interesting too when you're still leaving up, but you feel in your heart that gap between what you had at your peak and what you're leaving with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't swing that far anymore. I kind of readjust my walk levels with the bankroll as it goes now.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in house money. Yeah. But I will open up a bit as there are more chips in my rack than where I started. I might swing for the fences here and there. I'll use a craps example. I'm usually not betting any center action unless there are more chips in my rack than where I started. But I will. But that's out of enjoyment and not wanting to see my bankroll diminish. But the days of being up thousands and giving it back are probably over. I've really kind of reined that in. And it's unlikely that I would be up, at least at a table, large sums of money, because when I walk in now, I have a number that I'm going to walk at. And it's usually not, you know, if I come with $1,000, I usually don't need to hit five. I'll probably walk if I hit three. So, you know, we're not gonna have these grand falls from grace when you keep the window that tight.
Yeah. Having done that a couple of times, the big gaps from peak to walking away, even when walking away with a profit, you know, it feel in your stomach and you down on yourself a little bit. And that has, so there's two ways that I have, how I've protected myself again. This is why I still feel comfortable. These two things that I implement when I'm at a table are seriously what keeps me comfortable with going to a casino at the stage of life that I'm in right now. And by what I mean by that is I have a lot of financial goals I want to meet right now. Yeah, I got a house I'm looking to improve. I have a wife that I have to make sure doesn't leave me because of a gambling habit, right?
You didn't say a wife you have to improve. Well, that with your luck, that would be the episode she listens to.
I'm pretty sure she listens to all of them. Not maybe in like not when necessarily right when they release, but I think sooner or later she gets to each episode.
Good.
Right. Yeah. One. So two safety nets that I give myself. I will give myself a play till I lose. Sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I'm let's say I sit down, I'm up 100, right? And I feel good. Like, all right, well, I don't want to leave with less than this, so I'm going to play until I lose. So that's the next hand, it's the next hand, right? Mm-hmm. If I buy in for 200 and I'm up another 100, maybe I put the 250 aside, I got my 50, and I play through that, right? So that would be like an example of giving myself floors, right? New floors. So like, right. if I cross a threshold, okay, now 300. Like if I get down to 300, I'm out. If I get up to 500, right? Now, if I'm up at the 550, it's like, all right. If I get down to 500, then I'm out. having those little floors are, having those little methods. I remember, like, and here's what's tough is, I remember sitting down at a blackjack table one time, and it's so interesting how people have such different responses to this. Almost same scenarios, two different casinos, MGM National Harbor, sat down, played for a little bit, won, and I was like, well, I'm out. And the dealer's like, wait, you're leaving already? You just bought in. And the player's like, holy crap, you're leaving now? The table's hot. And I'm like, you don't know that. You don't know that it's still hot. And yeah, I'm going to leave with, I just won 6 out of 7 wagers that I made. And this isn't a cheap table to play at MGM National Harbor. I was like, yeah, I'm out. Compare that to when I was in Vegas at Bally's playing at a $15 table, sat down, the dealer just busted all over the place. That sounded gross.
Yeah. I just got a mental image and I'm not going back to Bally's. I hope you leave that in there.
I probably will. Yeah. We'll see how I feel when I listen back to it again.
Uh-huh. we could use a laugh.
Oh, man. The dealer was going over the number of 22 repeated, or number 21 repeatedly.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot of hands where I'm splitting and doubling and stuff like that. And I had to have won, you know, 15 of 17 or 20. Like, it was, the hands I lost were just the one unit. The hands that I won were ones where I was splitting and doubling and stuff like that.
Right.
Huge increase. Just like an explosion of chips right in front of me. And I was like, all right, I'm coloring up. And the dealer's like, good job. Like, good, great idea. And she's coloring me up. She's like, you know, some people aren't this smart. But, and it was so, it's interesting comparing two similar situations where, like, the table's going so well early on, the decision to leave while I'm up, and the difference in responses is interesting.
So this won't help most people, but okay. I play mental games with myself, and in order to keep me from, or in order to make sure that the new floor is set. So when I have a big win, and when I say a big win, you know, it's all relative, right? But I always take a portion of my winnings and I want to put it into my children's college fund.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm going to reach back in, I'm literally taking money out of my kids' college fund to do so. And that's something that is like, well, only a degenerate would do that, right? So, like, that's not going to happen. So, you know, if you don't have children, find something else that would be important to you. Like, are you willing to trade that to continue to gamble?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm so glad. Yeah, I don't have like a, well, I don't have children and I don't have like a one thing that I've looked at, but I have been trying to, you know, like most people, and Eric, I'm sure you were the same way up until this children's college fund, mental game was you had your cash of, and it grew and decreased as you played, right? Like,
sure.
You know, and that was the cash you went to. Well, as you know, as we all know, you can have those nights that just go really, or those few visits that go really bad, and what was a nice little stack of cash has gone down to bare minimum, right? And it feels bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was so much cash there originally. So to avoid that feeling and to ensure that that money gained from the casino isn't only eventually going back to the casino, I've done things like. Put like I came home one day. I think I had a bunch of free play at MGM. It was like multiple promotions, all with like nice free plays. And I came home. I think maybe I won $120. I took the hundy and I threw it in my wife's wallet. My father-in-law helps pay for some school supplies and stuff like that for a couple kids in Nicaragua. When he was here for Christmas, I gave him most of my gambling winnings from December, which I think was like $100. And it's things like that where, like, even though my casino bankroll isn't growing because I'm doing that, I feel if I were to lose everything that's in that cache from like a, from a few bad sessions, I still feel satisfied knowing that, you know, the good sessions I'm having are actually contributing to things that are important in life. And that's the point you're getting to. But I was just pointing out a few examples in my life.
Yeah. I mean, it's different from like in my 20s where I was like, well, I need that money for hookers and blow. So now I'm kidding. Only one of them. No, I'm kidding. Maybe. But yeah, there's bigger things out there, and you have to understand that, at least for us, this is a hobby. I know there are people where this is more than a hobby, but it's entertainment, and it can be profitable entertainment. But more often than not, it isn't. And you just know that going in. Yeah.
More often than not, it isn't. And that is so important to remember. It is a negative EV game. Everything, unless you're a poker pro, an advantage player, or are having it, like you're good at betting on sports, playing a negative EV game.
But to be fair, like I've never gone to the movies and walked out with more money than I walked in with.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I've never everything in life that you're paying for as entertainment is a negative EV game.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of the reasons why I don't go to the movies anymore, right? It's just the amount of money that I know I have to spend for the gamble of enjoying the movies has gotten too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I will wait and I will watch it on an airplane. I watched Crazy Rich Asians today on my flight today. I enjoyed it quite well. Had I watched it in the movie theaters, though, Eric, I may not have felt satisfied with my purchase. And
yeah.
That's to say I didn't enjoy it, but that's to say that the, it's also the time investment, right? Going to the movies is a much bigger time investment than already being stuck on your airplane and deciding to use this movie to pass the time.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So, and that goes all the way back to the top of the episode of evaluating offers. You know, Mark Duvall was talking about when we were talking about tracking gambling, he counts the gas he uses to and from, right? He considers that in his, when evaluating, or at least the gas to and from comes from his gambling. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to say. But, you know, that is an expense, along with time, right? There's, $10 of free play at MGM will probably get me there if I'm out running errands anyways. Whereas $10 free play from Horseshoe Baltimore, no way I'm doing a 2-hour round trip for that, right? And that's a time investment that I'm looking at avoiding, not just cost. Eric, we've crossed our hour mark, which is something you and I are really good at doing.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much we may or may not have to talk about, we always find a way to cross the hour mark. I'm really excited about this, man. For people who are wondering, like, wait, what's changed here? Here's the plan. Here's the short term and long term plan. Short term. Or the long-term plan, interviews are still going to happen. In fact, next week we'll have an interview. As I mentioned in, I think, November, I'm liking – so that way I can be more selective on interviewees, prepare for them better and stuff, going on this alternating where interviews are every other week, and then there's other episodes like this one alternating on that. But instead of having guest co-hosts, Eric is the official co-host. Short term, just in the next few months, next 2 or 3 months, I will most likely execute the interviews as Eric and I get into a nice rhythm. Because Eric, as you know, having to record with the VC boys, sometimes scheduling can be difficult. But once we kind of get into that groove, get into that routine and everything, I'm looking forward to bringing you on and having you be a part of those interviews, Eric. I'm confident that you will have interests and curiosities that I won't think of, and that will only provide more value to the listener.
Sounds good. I like it.
Yeah. All right. I don't know how to should I mean should I mean should I try to wrap it up the way that I usually wrap it up? A little good night and good luck. Do you want a good night and good luck? Would you? I think if you don't, do you mind telling everybody that you're okay? Because now that we're an hour into it, they can tell you're safe. But I got no less than like 20 messages over social media of people asking me, is Eric okay? Because this is where we are with social media now. If someone deactivates their accounts for even a few days, people panic.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny. I'm okay. I'm blinking, so that means I'm really not, and you should call the cops. But no. So yeah, I went dark on social media. I have turned Twitter back on because it appears that's a necessary evil. But for a lot of reasons, I just wanted Facebook in particular. I wanted the interruptions to stop. And you know, you talked about resolutions for 2019. I don't consider this a resolution. I just consider it a incremental change that I'm making, and I'm just not going to be spending as much time on social media. So Facebook has, kind of gone away. But to those of you who reached out, and by the way, I got calls from a couple of other people where Michael and who was the other person? People reached out to them to be like, what happened? Apparently, if you turn off your social media, it is somehow interpreted as a cry for help. I assure you that is not what was happening. All is well. Just didn't want to do the social media anymore.
Yep. I've had a number of friends that have done this, and it has blown me away how each time it's happened, people respond to it as if there's a reason for concern, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you are still at E. Rosenthal 1029?
Yeah. Yep. You can still reach me there on Twitter. I probably will not be so actively watching. So if I take a couple of days to get back to you, please don't be offended. But you can still reach me there. Yep.
Yeah. I'm hoping to Facebook, just like you, Facebook especially. And it used to be I used to try to get away from Facebook because it was upsetting me. Now it just doesn't provide any value. Like when I find myself going into Facebook, I do very few things that actually like provide. I think the Vice Lounge Online Facebook group is like the only thing I really find interesting. Like I go in there, like oh look, I find a little bit of entertainment out of it. Right. Everything else, I realize like I'm just scrolling through this like a moron because I'm a monkey on social media. You know, like I opened up my Facebook app and started scrolling because that's what I've been doing for the past 8 freaking years. Very well. Well, I am at The Better Life still there. Eric, I'm looking forward to this, man. I'm 2 weeks from now. Today's the 2nd, so you and I will be back doing this on the 16th.
I like
All right, it's so weird. Like I keep on wanting to go back to saying, "Well, Eric, thanks for joining me," but that's not what this is. That's not what we're doing here. We're actually closing the episode. So, Eric Rosenthal, it's a pleasure to have you on, sir. I'm looking forward so much to building this show, growing this brand with you side by side, sir. It's going to be fun.
Oh, it's a pleasure being had. Good night and good luck.